Well, good day. As I share this devotional, we are about to begin as a church a prayer campaign, Awaken Nova, where we're praying that God will help us reach hundreds of thousands of people in Northern Virginia. Thought it might be helpful to talk a little bit about intercessory prayer, the kind of prayers that we're encouraging everybody to join us in prayer, in praying. Psalm 106, verse 23, interesting psalm, says, "At Horeb, they, the people of Israel, made a calf and worshipped the cast metal image. They exchanged their glory, the glory of God, for the image of a grass-eating ox. They forgot God, their Savior, who did great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, awe-inspiring acts at the Red Sea. So he said he would destroy them. If Moses, his chosen one, had not stood before him in the breach to turn his wrath away from destroying them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. It's an amazing thing that the God of the universe, the God of all knowledge, would speak to us, would give us the opportunity to have a peek into your mind and to share in your wisdom. It's humbling, Lord, and so I ask that you would be honored, that you would speak, that you would lead us today. Through Christ we pray, amen. The great poet William Cowper famously wrote, "The Lord works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform." And nothing may be much more mysterious for us than how God works his ways through prayer. Sometimes we pray and nothing happens, and it's a mystery. Jesus tells us to pray. God encourages us to pray. We pray, don't see any results. We wonder, is God really there? And yet at the same time, sometimes we don't pray. I know I've experienced this and you have too. You don't pray. And yet God does something so special. You know, maybe we're not smart enough to know what we ought to pray, or maybe we aren't thoughtful enough to pray enough to God. Whatever the reason, God moves sovereignly, and we look and say, thank you, God, for the unasked for blessing. And other times, God moves only in answer to prayer. After World War II, for instance, people say that the prayers of Rhys Howells, they called him the Welsh intercessor, were so powerful that they're credited with thwarting the Nazis and influencing certain events in World War II. We see in the Bible, number five, people pray, God answers prayer. He works in mysterious ways through prayer. Psalm 106 records one of those times when God clearly answered prayer. It saved the people of Israel, literally. At Mount Horeb, Moses is on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments from God. Meanwhile, at the base of the mountain, Moses has been gone for a month, and the people start wondering, is he ever going to come back? Maybe he's dead. Maybe he's never going to come back. And so they think, we need to worship something. Let's make a calf and start worshiping the calf. By the way, I would point out that that the people at that point didn't feel like they were worshiping the calf itself, but they believed the calf represented for them the God that they were worshiping. This is often the case with ancient Near Eastern idols. It's not that they believed that the calf was God, but they were able to picture their god or goddess on top of the calf, you see. And so it was kind of they just saw it as a spiritual aid to worship. Well, God didn't. He understood they were exchanging eternal glory that cannot be limited for the material. And so finally God is done with them. And he's ready to kind of do the flood of Noah with the people of Israel at this point. Let's just wipe them all out and get a fresh start. But Moses prayed. I love the words of the psalm. So God said that he would destroy the people of Israel. if Moses, his chosen one, had not stood before him in the breach to turn his wrath away from destroying them. What a great picture. Standing in the breach, standing in the gap for others. I think it's interesting that sometimes people feel like intercessory prayer isn't very spiritual. I heard somebody, a Jewish person, say just recently that they never ask God for things. They just praise God. Sometimes people say that prayer doesn't really change things. It only changes us. Well, prayer ought to change us. But intercessory prayer, the Bible makes it very clear, God hears and responds. As we enter this Awaken campaign, Awaken Nova, we're encouraging everybody to pray intercessory prayers daily. What if all God's people in Northern Virginia would pray, Lord, be Lord over Northern Virginia. Show yourself. Start a great revival that draws people back to you. And we can do this with boldness because God invites us to pray this way. James tells us that we are to pray for one another that you may be healed. Paul encourages us to intercede for other Christians and ministers. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says that we're to be praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, Paul says, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Paul says, pray for each other and pray for me. Intercessory prayer, by the way, does not respect a separation between church and state. That's not to say that the church should take the power of the state or that they have the same role. That's not what I mean. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we are told, pray for political leaders. God is sovereign over what's happening in the state. Paul urges them that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all good godliness and reverence. By the way, if you want to know the purpose of the state, people often think that God created or that the state, the government exists for a whole bunch of different reasons. And God makes it really clear. This is the reason that he created the state. That Christians could lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. The purpose of the state is to do justice so people can live at peace. And so the work of the church, the work of the kingdom can be done. That's the purpose. That's the ultimate purpose of the state. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus actually offers prayers, tells us that we need to pray for our enemies. When we intercede in prayer, I pray for our enemies. He says, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So in your prayer list, who are the people that you would say are your enemies? Now, nobody likes to say, this person's my enemy. Who's the person that you who's hurting you deeply, that you have a significant disliking for, and you're tempted to pray, God, take them out, but maybe you ought to pray first, God, draw them to you. Bless them. In John 17, we refer to Jesus' high priestly prayer, and Jesus makes intercessory prayer for us. He says in his prayer, as you, Father, sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. By the way, why does truth matter? Because that's how we become like Christ. It's how we know God. It's how we are trying to sanctify them. How? By truth. I do not pray, Jesus continues, for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. that they may be one, Father, as you are in me and I am, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So intercessory prayer is a very biblical thing. It's not unspiritual. It's not less spiritual than thanking God or praising God. It's significant. God invites us to. Now, it may help also in our intercessory prayers to dispel with some misunderstandings. First of all, intercessory prayer is not about numbers. I'm not sure how you feel, but in me, there's this kind of inner logic that says the more words I use, the more God's apt to listen to me. You know, have you ever heard somebody in prayer, yourself in prayer, and you're kind of like, I need to keep going, and you're kind of repeating yourself over and over and over again. And there's this part of you that feels like, if I can just keep talking enough, I can beat down the doors of heaven, and God's going to be forced to give me whatever I ask him for. Remember Jesus' instruction in Matthew chapter 6? Jesus recognized we have this in our nature, and so he says, when you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine that they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things that you need before you ask. So the purpose of prayer, and even specific prayer, is not I'm kind of like buying God off with my many words. It is to share your heart, to certainly share specifically what you're asking of God, but it doesn't give greater weight just to use more words for the sake of more words. In fact, Ecclesiastes says, where words are many, sin is not absent. Don't feel like the more words you use, the more you're going to persuade God. Share your heart, pour out your burden. Focus, though, on the substance of the conversation, connecting to the powerful, holy, sovereign God. But the power of prayer is in the substance and in your sincerity and in God answering, not in word count. Another struggle that people have, I think, with intercessory prayer is that if God doesn't answer quickly, kind of feel like maybe it's futile to ask in the first place. So you just quit. In Matthew chapter 7, though, Jesus said, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. I love the fact that there in the original language, the Greek, has a number of different tenses in the verb that communicate different things. Some communicate, you know, past action or past action complete or past action continuing effect. This is a tense actually that communicates a continuing action on our part. In other words, persistence. Keep on. So when it says ask, it really is saying keep on asking. Seek, not just seek once, but keep on seeking. Knock, not just knock and if the door stays closed, you go, but knock and keep on knocking. Intercessory prayer, in other words, is often persistent prayer. Another misunderstanding with intercessory prayer is the thought that it doesn't really matter if I pray or not. Prayer doesn't change things. It just changes me. And as we pointed out earlier, God was going to destroy the people of Israel at this point. And I think he really intended to. But he gave Moses a chance to be heard. Moses stood in the gap. Now, again, I don't understand how prayer works. I'm not going to pretend to. I don't understand how God knows all things. He had made a decision. He knows what Moses is going to do. And then he therefore spares people. But I know what God asks us to do and how God acts. And I can leave the understanding of all things up to him. Again, I don't understand how prayer works. Sharing Jesus is often not easy, for instance. But I have found, and I've found I can go share Jesus and not pray about it, and it's not effective. My wife Laura and I have talked many times about how when New Life started, we had very few resources. We were very uncertain that we were doing the right stuff. taking the right steps. It was back in the day when there were like two books on church planting. And I think we were doing the best that we could, but I'm very flawed, was very immature, 27 years old. And that made us desperate for God, desperate for prayer. We prayed a bunch. We pulled the New Life people together a bunch to pray. We depended on God in prayer, and God provided and God blessed, and we were able to pay the bills. We were able to reach more lost people, and the church didn't go out of existence. And I was told later on that I discovered later on that in the first 5 years of New Life, there were six churches, new churches, that actually had started and shut down. God bless us. As I look back on that, I just think God answered prayer. We started another church after that, and I don't think we prayed as much. I think that that point was the third church that we had started, and we had a good plan. We had a much better detailed plan, kind of an outline. Got to do these things by this almost a scientific approach to church planting. But I don't know that there was the desperation that we had had. I'm not sure that there was the commitment to prayer and dependence on God that we had had in starting New Life originally. And that church doesn't exist anymore. I don't know for sure. Can't say. Maybe in eternity we'll be able to understand. But I know God answers prayer when we pray. Now, I'm going to pick it up there next time and talk about a little bit more about how to offer intercessory prayers. But before we go, let's remember Moses. At Horeb, the people of Israel made a calf and worshiped the cast metal image. So God said, I'm going to have them destroyed. And I would have destroyed them if Moses had not stood in the gap, stood before him in the breach, to turn his wrath away from destroying them. The people of Israel were saved because Moses stood in the gap and interceded for them to the throne of heaven. There are people right now who are perishing around us, people that you know, people that you love. Maybe people that are part of your family, maybe some close friends, and you want them to be saved. You understand Moses' sense of love and burden that the nation of Israel not be destroyed at that moment. Like Moses, God is calling you and me to stand in the gap, to pray for those people specifically, to appeal to God. And if the prayers of Moses can be answered by God to bring the victory in that day to save an entire nation, is it too much to believe that God can do it again and wants to do it again in our generation? And so we ask, join us in intercessory prayer. Praying every day. Make a prayer list. Pray specifically, God, save us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for so many examples in scripture. I thank you that you hear our prayer, our prayers. God, we humble ourselves before you, admitting we don't understand how prayer works. We don't understand how you are beyond all time. And yet we pray in time. We don't understand your timing in answering prayer. We don't understand all that you want to do, but in obedience, we just simply want to offer our prayers to you. And I pray that you would make us a praying church for your glory, drawing people to you, cooperating with you so that your kingdom will come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, if you join next time that I'm sharing anyway, we'll do another session on specifics, maybe to help us offer an intercessory prayer. Until then.